You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Men, welcome back to the Awake podcast. We are so excited to be back with you. As you know, I'm Liam, one of the hosts for this podcast, joined by Sean. Sean, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Liam. I'm excited to be back here again and looking forward to today's episode.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the topic of prayer. This was from week two of the Awake study that we ran through in January. And we kind of hit on three major points during that time, or rather Joe did, as he was teaching through the topic of prayer. And I want to hit on those really briefly, but we're actually going to be focusing on just one of them during today's episode. So hopefully you're ready to have a good, thorough conversation on the topic of prayer. But the first point that he really hit on was prayer is the most important place. And he kind of went through the story of Mary and Martha, and where Jesus was really highlighting the importance of just being with him, being at his feet, and from moving from a place of anxiously working to a place of resting in the presence of God and learning from him, that our being is more important than our doing. And that was the picture that was really presented well in that story. Point number two was prayer is the most powerful practice. And this is a topic that I've heard Joe speak on a lot. And one of the lines that has really resonated with me over the years is he said it, I don't even know, 1,000 times maybe, but prayer is the most we can do. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually going to come back to this topic in particular and talk about it for a while. But I want to just hit on number three really fast, that prayer is the most compelling promise. So those were kind of the three points that we hit on, but we're going to be spending the majority of our time talking about prayer as the most powerful practice. So he focused in on a particular passage in the Gospel of Luke, and it's the Lord's Prayer. So there's two kind of versions mm-hmm. of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels. There's one in Matthew 6, and then there's one in Luke 11. I'm going to go ahead and just read both of them if I can, and we can kind of just talk about them. Is that cool?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, this is in verse 2 through 4, it says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, as you guys probably know, this is coming after a time where his disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And this was his response to them, this kind of scripted prayer of how they can approach the Father. And so he does it's something very similar in Matthew chapter 6. And this is what it says, starting in verse 9. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this is where Jesus starts. When the disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray, he starts here. Sean, I'm kind of curious, like, when you think about the topic of prayer, what's your first thought? What comes to your mind right away when you think about the practice of prayer?
I would say silence and solitude. I kind of think of prayer as an individual conversation with God and kind of my own war room, my own table, my own car, just an individual type of conversation with God on that.
Yeah. No, I think of it very similarly. And thinking back on a little bit of my story, and one of the first major influences in my kind of discipleship and life with Christ was a guy named Randy down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And this guy, he was such a powerful prayer. He was constant and steadfast in seeking the Lord privately, but also in groups and in a gathering of other men in our church. And he invited me into that, and getting to see the way he lived out prayer privately, but also publicly, was really powerful for me. And he really taught me how to pray. And so I really can kind of resonate with the disciples in this. It's like, okay, I know I'm supposed to talk to God, but I don't really know exactly how I'm supposed to do it. So what do I do? And Jesus responds to them by kind of giving them something of a scripted prayer, a place to start. And in a lot of ways, this is the starting point for prayer, is to pray these words to the Lord, saying, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the thing that I love about this is that it gives us an opportunity to expand on the prayer. Mm-hmm. But when we don't know what to do, he's given us the words to speak to the Lord. What's kind of your first blush response to this prayer in particular, the Lord's Prayer? Have you prayed it in the past? Like, what's been your experience with it?
Yeah. I feel like most Christians can recite that prayer 95% of the way. Growing up Catholic, that was definitely part of Mass, and so just kind of knowing these prayers. But with that, I would say that the Lord's Prayer is such a good guideline for me. Just even when I'm kind of driving or by myself, it's when I'm at a loss for words for, I don't know, I'm angry about a situation, upset about a situation, and I feel like my prayers are becoming selfish. I try to think about what the Lord has taught me with this Lord's Prayer, and just being able to find foundation in that prayer and know that God's will is already being done and will be done, that his kingdom will come. And I think the important part of that for me is towards the end, where it's like forgiving our debtors, right? Mm-hmm. So always holding anger or animosity can drive a lot of emotions. And that part's not to be overlooked, into having a pure heart and it frees our mind. We can think so many times when we feel wronged by somebody, and it controls the next hour, the next half of the next day, or so on and so forth, with just anger and aggression. So mm-hmm. When I hear the Lord's Prayer, I think about God's will, and then also to forgive anybody I have strife with, because God's forgiven me.
Yeah. And I think that really hits on one of the major purposes of prayer. And I think why the Lord invites us into prayer is that it reorients us to his perspective and his direction for our lives. And that's why Jesus begins in the way that he begins. He's reminding us of who we are, in a sense, by calling God our Father. He's reminding us that we're his children. He is in heaven. We are on earth. And so it's just an immediate reorientation to who God is, who I am. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Like, you are the holy one. Your name is set apart. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. It's just exactly what you were talking about. And that's where I think this, and we kind of hit on this a little bit ago, this instruction for prayer, this Lord's Prayer, provides us such a great foundation for expanding on it. And it's one of the things that I learned from Tim Keller's book on prayer, is using this as a grid. And taking each statement, our Father in heaven, or give us this day our daily bread, and letting that kind of springboard us into further prayer. So when you're thinking like, okay, give us this day our daily bread, now I'm beginning to pray about the provision that I'm asking for the Lord.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety over my finances. You know, it's starting to get warm, so those electricity bills are about to start climbing. And my wife's pregnant, so it's going to have to be even colder in the house than it probably is normally. So it's just like those kinds of things where the prayer meets real life. And you just start to think through, you know, where am I trying to seek my kingdom versus the Lord's kingdom? I need to confess that to him. So it's such a great place to start, guys. And so when you're thinking through and struggling through, and I just don't know what to pray, start here. Start with Jesus' first instructions on what and how to pray. But I want to kind of move the conversation a little bit to talking about our own personal practices of prayer and maybe uncovering some recommendations for you guys on places to start. But Sean, what's been your practice, some of the joys, some of the struggles, you know, how has it changed or grown over time? You know, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. First off, I don't want to gloss over the fact that you just said your wife is pregnant. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah,
to that.
That's right.
So
not everybody knows that.
Not
a surprise.
Does, so, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Congrats, man. I know you guys are praying on that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And like God says, ask and it shall be given unto that when you truly believe. So it takes a lot of belief, sometimes with unanswered prayers, with answered prayers, just constantly believing in God's will for your life. For me, prayer, I'm pretty decent at talking. I find that I have a lot of words, good and bad. So initially I felt like prayer was going to be the easiest part of a relationship with God. Oh, I can talk with God. But when there's a lot of just kind of words and the intention or the heart isn't following, it's like, where was I at? I really had to kind of question myself and say, mm-hmm. like, what am I asking for here? Where is it? Like you said, is it my will or is it God's will? And sometimes it can be very hard to separate those two exactly,
for sure.
Right? It's just like, oh, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This, I feel prompted by the Spirit. Well, go with that, because the more you pray, the more the Spirit intercedes in your life, and you start to listen and also be through prayer as counsel, and so guided through some friends and family and members of the church. But yeah, my prayer life has definitely gotten a lot better. I think the amount of time that I spend in prayer has kind of lengthened. And sometimes that prayer is just, I'm just sitting there in my own kind of thoughts within that, just kind of listening to God and the Holy Spirit. And I know that some of you guys have, you know, 2-year-olds and 6-year-olds mm-hmm. and 13-year-olds running around the house, and it's hard to escape into this quiet place. go sit in the truck for a minute, right? And so go to the golf course and hang out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think time-wise has expanded a little longer, not praying for an hour or so, but just being intentional with my time with God, as well as my words, and kind of knowing where, as my life is following Christ, the things that I kind of know what I want to be asking for. Some of the same things you said, as we prepare for a child and move into income family for the time being, there's a lot of prayers and anxiety that I kind of have in regards to that. So I think asking for peace, mm-hmm. asking for provision, asking for my wife and her to be at peace as well, you know, because she wants to contribute. So I've just seen over the past couple years of my life, my prayer be a lot more intentional instead of, as the Pharisees do, just throw up false words to God.
Just fill it up with time. Yeah. Empty air. Yeah, man, my story with prayer, like I shared a little bit, was really impacted by Randy early on. But before that, there was definitely a struggle for me of believing that the Lord was listening to my prayers. And I think that's where faith plays an important element in our prayer life, is because prayer is, it's a mystery in some ways, because we're talking to a God who we do not see, but we love, and who we know loves us and actually responds to our prayers in action in the world around us and in our lives, whether those responses are to change our perspective or our way of thinking or even our circumstances. Like, God is insanely powerful. And I've come to believe that more over time as I've prayed and seen the Lord answer prayers, whether they were answered in the way that I expected them or not. Most often they're answered in the way I don't expect them to be, but it's way better. Even if it takes me some time to really come to that perspective, I think the first place to come to is a place of faith and believing that, now, when I come to my Father in heaven, I know that He hears me. And it makes me think of a passage in the book of Hebrews that it's through Jesus that we can boldly approach the throne of God to receive mercy and grace and help in our time of need. That's a rough paraphrase of a passage in Hebrews that I don't have a specific reference for, but go read the entire book and you'll see something that's almost like that. So
I agree with that. Couple of things I kind of wrote down or was thinking about was in Mark, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus is asking us to believe, to truly believe in our hearts that He can move mountains onto that. And that's, it's like, well, can a mountain really kind of be moved? Yes, God could move it if He wanted to onto that. And we think about the relevance of our lives or my life and to the mountains that we have, you know, things we talked about, death, finances, tough decisions, whatever it may be, to have that belief. And then with that, James, who was a very righteous man, he goes on and says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And now I'm not claiming us to be self-righteous or anything, but walking down the path of life with God and with Jesus gets you to that righteousness. So I think that as we grow as believers and as our faith matches our talk and our walk, that our prayers are becoming more and more powerful to God. He recognizes that, hey, they are past elementary school, they are past high school, you know, they're in terms of their faith. And, you know, Liam has been a great witness these past 20 years. His prayers are becoming more, I hear them, Liam, compared, you know, and that's not to say somebody who prays for the first time and somebody who's been praying for 30 years, that God doesn't hear those. He hears them all. But yeah, James specifically says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that over time and kind of looking back at Matthew 6, you know, the prayer of your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as we are conformed into the image of Jesus, our prayers will align more and more consistently with his will. And so we can trust that what we are praying will happen because it's in line with God's will. Now, that's not to say that we're always going to see our prayers answered when we expect them to, or we're always going to see it even in our lifetime. But when we're praying in alignment with the will of God, we can entrust those prayers into his hands and leave the timing up to him. I think that's one of the hardest things. And some of the things I want to talk a little bit about, like what keeps us from prayer and some of the roadblocks. And I think that's one of them is missed expectations or when we don't feel like our prayers have been answered. And I think that's an important time to really step back and reflect. Am I praying in alignment with the will of God? Seek the scriptures, seek wise counsel. That's why I think community and prayer is really important. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about here in a little bit is the importance of gathering together with other brothers for prayer. But I also want to say that one of the things that keeps us from prayer is that it is incredibly humbling because we are surrendering our control to God. When you pray, you're admitting, I don't have what it takes to take care of everything in my life. I can't change my mindset. I can't change my circumstances. And you're coming to the Father and saying, Lord, I need you. And whether or not you change my circumstances, I need you to change me. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do. I know myself and I know that I'm a prideful man and I have a hard time admitting that I need help. And there are times in my life where it's been a struggle to go to prayer because I just want to muscle my way through whatever the difficulty or circumstance or struggle or conflict is. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, I don't know how to do this. I need your help. Please help me. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in this situation. What have been some roadblocks for you in prayer?
Yeah, I would piggyback off the pride thing, right? Always just trying to do things myself, thinking, I'll figure out that answer kind of deal. I would say, yeah, pride just definitely got in the way of prayer in previous times. I think other roadblocks for me would have to do with, like I had previously mentioned, a plunder of words, right? Too many words. I think caring too much about how I sound. And that's even privately, you know, when it comes to public prayer, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. When you're praying with a group of guys, as we'll get into here in a little bit, you don't want to exactly sound like you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to stumble over your words, but God could care less what
the way we sound.
The way how poetic we sound,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it's more, like I've said, where the heart and the mind at and bringing those to his feet. So I would say just pride has gotten my own way of being intentional in my practice of prayer. Also just my own self-confidence within the relationship with God, knowing that he constantly brought me back from where I was. Other things just have to do with the busyness of life. It's a roadblock of, well, I'm at work, you know, 8 hours a day, or now we've got practice, and now I've got X, Y, and Z. So I think sometimes that the busyness of life can definitely get in the way of intentional prayer time. And I think that's why it's important for me to have set up like morning prayer, to have a little bit of time alone before I kind of start the day. But then also kind of on almost all of my drives, if I'm not listening to a podcast or K-Love or something like that, quietness, you know, mm-hmm. and just thinking about business, pregnancy, life. It finds me kind of speaking in that conversation with God. It's almost like I didn't know that the prayer was going to start. I didn't start off, Heavenly Father, please help me X, Y.
Yeah.
And just more of a...
spontaneous.
Exactly.
Just talking to God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's helped me develop a firm relationship with God to know that he is always there with me. It's,
yeah.
it's not in a time of prayer that he hears me. It's when I'm driving down the road, he hears my thoughts as well.
Yeah, and you hit on a really important point in the practice of prayer, which is being disciplined about setting a time and place that is guarded and guarded well, that we're intentional about the times that we're committing to develop our relationship with God in prayer. Not just reading his word. Reading his word is incredibly important, and it's how the Lord continues to renew our minds and transform our minds as we learn who he is and take on the mind of Christ. Our prayers will change as well, and so we need the word of God. But prayer is at least in my life, it's definitely more of the relational dynamic of I'm interacting with my Lord and trying to seek his help and also desiring that he change me so that I become more like him.
Yes.
And so I've needed to have guarded times, like in the mornings for me, before my feet hit the ground. It's a half second prayer of, you know, reminding myself that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. Psalm 23 is something that I pray in the mornings. And so having something like that for me is really helpful. But then you kind of hit on the spontaneous prayer, which I think speaks to what Paul speaks about a lot through a lot of his letters, is the idea of praying without ceasing, that our life takes on this color of prayer that is just, it's stained all over the place with prayer and conversation with God in a good way,
mm-hmm.
you know, not
yeah.
a bad way of stains, but in a good way. It's a beautiful mosaic of our life being prayerful in the car or before a meeting at work or before we walk into our house and interact with our kids. It's all of life being lifted up and lived before the face of God. And I think that's one of the really, really difficult things about prayer, again, as we talked about, is realizing that God is present with us every moment of the day. Jesus' promises to us, and never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the Great Commission, he says, surely I will be with you until the very end of the age. Mm-hmm. He is with us by his Spirit every moment of the day. And prayer is an opportunity to pause, reflect, realize that, and then bring him with us into every situation that we come into. And that completely changes the way that we enter into a room or the way that we enter into a conversation when we're conscious of God in those times. And some small practices that I've found to be really helpful for that in kind of the daily rhythm of life mm-hmm. is just the practice of breath prayer with memorized scripture. So I'm taking a deep breath in and I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm breathing out and I'm saying, I shall not want. I'm breathing in, I'm saying, the Lord is with me. Breathing out, I'm saying, I will fear no evil. Having a passage that kind of anchors you, reminds you of who God is, that his will is what's most important, that reorients your mind, has been really impactful for me and really helpful practice because sometimes I don't know what to say. And when you don't know what to say, you can go to the scriptures. We have an entire book in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, that is full of passages that you can pray directly to God. And that's why I found it to be so helpful for me when I don't have the words to express, to just go to the word and pray the words of God back to God. It's been really helpful for me.
Yeah. And maybe you talked about, you know, before you even step into the house and talk with your kids, it kind of had this image of, you know, we're both, you know, a few months away from being dads, mm-hmm. which will be exciting. But to the listeners that do have kids, how excited they are when their kid comes to them about a problem or look what I did or whatever it may be, how encouraging that is that their child came to them, and whether it was something great or something not so great that's happening, it's that encouragement. So you're talking to me about these things. Let's see how I can kind of grow in that with you onto them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the image that popped up into my head, and how thankful our Father is that we want to communicate with Him, that mm-hmm. we're not living this individualized relationship with Him, but growing in Him and growing in community with Him as well, too, which has been a super important practice here at the church for quite a long time of communal prayer and practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that you brought up the kind of the image of the Father and like Him wanting to hear from us. And Jesus goes on to talk about kind of that idea in Luke 11, just after He teaches them how to pray. Down into verse 11 in chapter 11, He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will instead give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Like think about your relationship with your own kids. Like, you want to hear from them. And when they ask you for something, you know, some dads might be a little bit of a jokester and they might be like, "Ah, gotcha," you know, but they're not going to just hand like a poisonous snake into some kid's hands. You know, they're not going to do that. But He's trying to get across the idea that our Father wants to pour out His Spirit. He wants to give us His presence. He wants to hear from us. He wants to be with us. And this is a hard thing to wrap our heads around. And I think it was probably really difficult for the Jews during this time, who their concept of God was probably much more set apart and holy and other than us than ours is. I think we can maybe swing the pendulum too far the other way, where we're like extremely relational and trying like, and I'm maybe getting into the theological weeds that I shouldn't be getting into here, but we have
Fast
to keep this.
If you need to.
Yeah. We have to keep this balance between the holiness of God and the like fatherly loving presence of God at the same time, and approach Him like little children.
So what would be some of your tips then for that? You know, they just kind of got my mind spinning a little bit and how we can be on that far side of the chart that says, yeah, just full on relationship instead of God being holy. So I guess my question is what would be your tips on a practical or a prayer or that can set God apart from us mm-hmm. while still kind of keeping that relationship, if that kind of question made sense?
No, it does. And I think there's a couple of helpful tools. I mean, one of them is just this passage that we've been talking about. The Lord's Prayer begins with us remembering not just that He's our Father, but hallowed be your name. Like, not just that He is personal and relational and part of our, like, we are part of His family, mm-hmm. but also don't forget, little children, that He is the Holy One of Israel. Like, He is set apart and perfect, righteous and just in everything that He does. And that's what invites the humility. Like, there is it is such an interesting thing to think of ourselves as children approaching our Father, but also like servants approaching the King, the Master, and the Lord of all things. So you kind of hold these two things in tension, that we kind of approach the Lord with a sense of eager expectation, like a kid does approaching their dad, but also with a sense of reverence and fear and awe, because He is the creator of the universe who spoke everything into creation by His mouth. Like, that's insane. That should put us on our face before God and like just be in awe of Him. And so it is strange to hold those two things in tension, but I think we should. And so a kind of a helpful acronym that can be used in times of prayers, just working through the PRAY acronym, which is praise, repent, ask, and yield. And this acronym, it might be in our daily devotion. I can't 100% remember if that's the acronym that's used in there or not, but it's something that I know we have in some of our journals here at the Welcome Center, if you guys are curious about those. But it's beginning with praise, and it's recognition of who God is and what He's done, that He is a good and just and loving Father. It's repenting of our sins, acknowledging that even though we can approach God with eager expectation as little children, we also have to recognize that we're approaching Him as broken sinners who desperately need His forgiveness and His mercy and help in time of need. And then we unapologetically ask God, and we're asking for things hopefully that are according to His will. And that's what takes time, as we are conformed in the image of Christ, that our asking looks more and more like things that are aligned with His heart. And then we yield. And I think that's a really important place to end our prayers, is open-handedness. And sometimes I even will actually open up my hands in times of prayer so that my body is physically representing to God what I hope is the posture of my heart, which is, I know I have asked for all of these things before you, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Let your will be done, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So whatever you want to do, help me to be cool with that. Mm-hmm. Not just, thank you for giving me all the things that I wanted. I want to love what you have given. So that's been a helpful acronym. I think it's a good place to start. Use, like I said before, use the scriptures, and you can even use the scriptures with that acronym at the same time to kind of guide your time of prayer.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. Kind of one of that, yes, opening your hands, like you said, that I encourage anybody, the next time you're in private prayer or public prayer, you know, there in the sanctuary, the next time we're praying, open your hands like that to that, you know, instead of the claps, it's like our go-to every time, and that's fine. But opening your hands to prayer, it's just that body language of coming to Christ, so open unto that. And it truly, it changes my mindset or my heart sometimes when I feel like my hands are open to Him. Mm-hmm. And it's a small little thing, but I encourage anybody to just kind of practice that. Just kind of throw that in. Mm-hmm. to see if it's, man, I'm definitely open to God and His prayers today. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sean, any final thoughts on the practice of prayer before we kind of move into the interview portion of our podcast?
Yeah, I think one of the verses that really helped me out with prayer the most as I've kind of dove more into it over the past couple years of my life comes from Philippians. And if I could pull it up real quick, it is Philippians 4:6. And you guys probably heard this before, but it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And for me, that word supplication, I just never really knew what it meant for a long time. It was part of the ESV, so not all translations will have that word. But the word supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. So I think it's important to pray about the same things daily. Onto that, whether it's flee from temptation, whether it's be kind-hearted, any of the decision makings we're trying to do, to earnestly and consistently do that. And begging can sometimes get this negative connotation, but we are asking for God to intervene in our lives to where we are submitting to the Father. I'm powerless to do on that. I am begging you, God, to help me see things different, to help me feel things in a different way, and other aspects onto that. So I just think, yeah, a parting thought is these prayers of praise are welcomed, but also we are sinners, and begging God to earnestly change our hearts to follow Christ is a very important message that Paul makes sure that we know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very true. Guys, a lot of this conversation has been, you know, a lot of guidance, hopefully, in ways that you can incorporate different practices in prayer in your own life. But I think it's also really important that we talk about the idea of praying in community. And so we want to bring on a guest to this episode of the Awake Podcast, one of our elders here at the church, Greg Armbruster, who has been instrumental in continuing to invite guys into gathering together in prayer on a weekly basis. So we look forward to having Greg on the show. All right, guys. Well, now we want to kind of transition this conversation to talk a little bit more about our men's prayer group. It's a group that's been going on for years here at Fellowship, and we brought Greg Armbruster on to share a little bit more about what that ministry has looked like over the years and also the impact of it and kind of how it's served to be a vehicle for growing guys in the practice of prayer, but also deepening relationships in our group together. So, Greg, welcome to the podcast. We'd love to just hear a little bit about you before we kind of dive into the history of the men's prayer group.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Liam, Sean. Maybe to put on my elder's cap first, if it's okay.
Yeah.
I would like to thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate you stepping up and doing this and Liam, you do such a great job with our men's ministry, and that's a lot of work, and appreciate what you've done there.
Thank you.
And Sean, I've known you for about a year and a half, and I've seen you grow and really get involved. You're in our men's ministry team, too, and so just wanted to start by thanking you guys for
Greg.
Thanks. So, yeah, we did not tell him to say that. That was all genuine.
It is genuine.
Thank you.
That's why I did a 5 under the table. Yeah,
it
right.
It was all true and not made up. I've been married for 45 years to Renee and have one son and a daughter-in-law and four grandkids. And they Very all cool. go to Fellowship Bible Church, so yeah. they're all believers, and so it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been attending Fellowship Bible Church?
Yeah, I started 1 month after it was planted, so over 26 years, I guess it would be.
And when did you come on the elder board?
Probably 10 to 12 years ago.
Okay.
I always forget the exact.
Sure. Exactly. Very cool.
Yeah.
So when in that process did you start going to men's prayer? When did that kind of start in the history of Fellowship? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll give you a history. It probably started within the first 6 months when the church started. There was three elders, I think, myself and a couple other guys that had started it and were meeting. We were meeting in the evenings, and we didn't have a church building. So we were meeting at Rick Tague's office at night once a week. So we met there for 3 years, and then when we built the first building, we moved over there and we started to meet there, and we started meeting in the mornings at 6 o'clock in the mornings. And so that's when it started growing. There's four names I'll give you because they're still in the group that started after about the third or fourth year. Mike Tyndall, Mitch Miller, Harold Ramsey, and Jim Turner.
Some real legacy members.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm the only one left from the original group. So I've been meeting 26 years, and then we've got those other four guys have been meeting for at least 20-plus years.
Man.
So it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like 26 years of getting together. Yeah. Was it always a weekly basis?
It's always been weekly, and it's always been Friday morning after we've moved to mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
So, the original intent of the meeting was to pray for our pastor. We only had him and one other staff at that time. So we were praying for the Joe and – or not Joe, but Lowell was our pastor. And we also were praying for the weekend services. That was part of our emphasis, and praying for the spiritual growth of the congregation. It wasn't until later on we added the prayer requests of the congregation to what we were praying for. So,
yeah.
But that was the original intent. And I think it's played a large part in the spiritual growth, I think, of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have any stories about that in particular that you wanted to talk more about? Or,
well, there was an incident that was going on in the church. It was a problem that came up. I think it was fourth or fifth year, and then our pastor left. That's when we hired Joe. But I think a large part of why we made it through that and. We only lost one couple when our other pastor left. Oftentimes, if a church loses their pastor,
everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had a strong elder board, and we had a strong prayer group, I think, that contributed to getting through that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual growth has been awesome since then.
Mm.
Yeah. I wanted to give a shout out to Mary Kemper, who is like the point woman for getting those prayer requests every Friday to us. It's stays updated. She does, a good job of making sure we've got that. I've been a part of the prayer group for about 2 years now onto that. And to see some of the names that you had mentioned, like Mitch and Jim Turner. And for me, it helps my spiritual growth to see the consistency in all of those men, to see that prayer is not above anything that they're doing. And it's really kind of helped spurn me when that 5 a.m. alarm clock goes off, you know, not to snooze it too many times onto that. So, yeah, just from a younger generation to an older generation, it is definitely, I would say, just compelling and uplifting to see the consistency in the group of the prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been alive for 26 years, so to think about like doing something consistently for that long is really powerful to me. I mean, I can't remember when I exactly started. I think I've been going for about a year or so. I don't know if you know better than I, to the men's prayer group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is hard to get up, but when I don't go, I genuinely miss getting together with that group of guys and not just lifting up one another in prayer, but lifting up our church, our staff, you know, and just our community in prayer, and even prayer requests from around the world. I'm very challenged during that time, and it is just such a beautiful experience of getting to see the way that other guys are interacting with God as well. And so that's been really transformative for me.
Yeah, it's even for me now, it's difficult sometimes to turn that alarm off and get up. But yeah, you're always it's always worth it.
Yeah.
And it's a great mix of guys too onto that. Just people in different walks with their relationship with Christ. People in different mission fields. So you kind of get a good mix of people who. You know, don't have a whole lot to say, and other people that, you know, that prayer time coming for the first time or the second time, or they're really, really struggling with things, can kind of dump their worries towards Christ and do it in community, which I found so uplifting. Part of that community, how I've seen it grow is some of the relationships and friendships I've been able to make with some of the guys, Liam and you and Ben and Matt, just all of those guys that you probably don't know who I'm referring to. But with that being said, how have you kind of seen relationships kind of blossom from the group and maybe some personal relationships you've seen kind of blossom from that group?
Yeah, I think one of the things that it's kind of outside the actual prayer time, but a bunch of us guys go to breakfast afterwards. And gives you a chance to really build the relationship there and connect better. It's funny how that started. After we moved over to this building, I think it was in 07, Mitch and Harold and I started going to Burger King afterwards. And after...
No free ads. Not a sponsor.
Well, after not very long period of time, I says, I'm not going to eat these tater tots anymore. It came out of the freezer. And so we moved over to Perkins. We felt more comfortable inviting some other guys then, I think. And so that's grown to 8-10 guys going to breakfast afterwards, which that really helps, you know, connect better and stuff.
Yeah. I remember the first time that I went to Perkins, and it was just kind of this wake-up call of how long and consistent you guys have been doing that, when I sit down at the table and nobody brings me a menu because
everybody
the
knows.
Waitress had memorized everybody's order. You guys already knew you were going to get the same thing. I was like, I don't even know what they have. So it was just funny to kind of see that you guys have been doing that for so long. It was really cool.
But we were paying as much for this breakfast sandwich and tater tots at Burger King. I can get the Fab Five over there at Perkins.
Shout out Fab Five.
Just
Shout
as much Fab food.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and I think just the time together, you mentioned the diversity there. I mean, we have guys in our mid-20s. And then we have guys in our mid-80s, and I'm not even the oldest guy there.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. I mean, we share our struggles and share our prayer requests and our praises and just get to know each other that way. We've had I wanted to tell you guys about Matt Marple, and I just felt like what was going on with him really brought us all into his situation. Him and his wife had an opportunity to take in to live with them an 8-year-old boy. He was a distant relative living with his grandma. His parents were both out of the picture, and his grandma was real old and couldn't take care of him, and so they saw that need. And so Matt shared about it, and he shared how they were scared, you know, and concerned, worried about whether this is the right thing to do. And so we encouraged him, prayed for him, and then they ended up doing it. And now he gives us an update. The little boy's name is Cy. Mm-hmm. Gives us an update of what's going on with Cy, and we're all kind of involved in that. And he's going to Heritage Christian School now. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been great. It's a good example of, you know, how we're getting to know each other and encouraging each other. So.
Yeah, in the first part of this podcast, we talked about sometimes, you know, it's difficult to continue to pray when it doesn't seem like God's answering any prayers. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of can be a selfish mindset. But when you get into this community of men and you recognize your prayers aren't the only ones going up, you know, there's other men struggling with decisions and whatever it may be. Right. You start to see some of these prayers answered to. So Matt and Glenda's situation with Cy, we've seen marriages that seem they're walking in broken, and through all of us praying for whoever it is, you know, to see those rebound and be strengthened, or addictions or whatever it may be. No prayer concern is too big or too small for our group. So it's kind of, it's a nice eclectic mix of different prayers that are going out onto that. So it's encouraging.
Yeah, and even when, I remember there have been times where I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it on Friday. And, you know, I think about the first time we had foster kids staying the night at our house, and my wife and I were just in tears, laying in bed, just stressed out of our minds, don't know what we're doing. And I remember I texted Mitch that morning, like, hey, please pray for us today. Like, we need it.
Yeah.
And just feeling, you know, I knew that there were guys praying for my wife and I that morning and throughout that day. And, man, I thank the Lord for the energy and endurance that we had to get through that day, because we were gassed. But, and it's just, it's so comforting to know that there is a brotherhood of guys that are just praying for you, even whether you're present or not.
And when you were training and preparing for foster care, and that, and Ben and his wife were doing that at the same time, you brought us in, you drawed us into that, and we prayed for you and helped you prepare for that and take that step. So, that was
absolutely
cool. I wanted to talk, we talked about the different variety of ages. I wanted to talk about Wayne Daniel. He's a part of our group. He's in his mid to upper 80s. I'm not sure. But he lives in a senior living facility, McCrites. And just tell us, Sean, if you wouldn't mind, about Wayne.
Yeah. Kind of as I mentioned previously, just some of the older generation that is kind of just uplifting me or continuing to push me to show up and continue prayers and to continue, you know, Joe says that we're all our own kind of ministry, right? We all have an opportunity to witness and to testimony what God's done in our lives. And it seems like every week or every other week, Wayne has a story about how he's consistently ministering to the folks there at McCrites. You know, it's not always an ideal situation being in a senior living facility. Wayne's invited friends from McCrites to come in. He's talked to us about multiple updates, from health concerns to just comfort concerns on Wayne. And every time I hear him speak, it's never coming from a selfish motive. It's never coming from, you know, an anger or anything. It's always pure hearted. And you always want men that are before you, with you, and behind you. And Wayne's one of those people that's before us a little bit, just in regards to what he's doing. So, shout out to Wayne for constantly showing up every single week.
Comes with a walker.
Comes with a walker. He's got his own special parking spot. He's got his own. We all kind of – there's no – if, by the way, anybody listening, if you – you are more than welcome to come. We would love for you guys to come. There's no assigned seating. However, there's one seat by the door that's specific Wayne, so stay out of that one. It's just been I keep using the word kind of uplifting or inspirational, but that's what it is. And that word is not to be used lightly, because, like Liam said, you if you're not there, you're kind of yearning for that fellowship time. But if you are there, you walk away from that place with a little pep in your step, saying, hey, I've got this. Give us this day my daily bread.
Yeah.
And moving forward onto that. And Wayne's a perfect example of what that looks like.
Yeah, I always have fun as I'm going around asking for requests. I always ask Wayne, how's your mission field going?
Yeah, yeah. So he's doing awesome.
It's his mission
field, active.
Yeah.
It's always active.
It is active. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. Like I had mentioned Mary having that prayer request sheet and just a little glimpse into it. It's always – somebody's always stumbled and broke their leg. You know, it seems like somebody's got a grandpa, a dad, a baby. There's always health concerns that we are constantly looking at and praying. Cancer warriors we're pray for on that list, servicemen and women, and then like mission fields across the globe. So we try to highlight any area we can within what we're doing prayers-wise onto that. So it's always encouraging to once again see that it's not just about me. There's a lot more going on to God's world than just myself. Mm-hmm.
So, Greg, do you have any just stories about the power of prayer? Any just kind of testimonies of some answered prayer that you've seen over the years?
Well, we've had several men with cancer that have been healed. I mean, early on, I remember Harold Ramsey had prostate cancer. We've got one man, Brad Hutton. He's fought cancer most of his life. He's not cancer free, but he's in maintenance, mm-hmm. I guess, mode with his chemo. And I think the biggest thing was just how our church has grown both in numbers and spiritually. And then we pray for our staff. In fact, right now once a month we trade off individually praying for a staff member. So we just sign up for a staff member, pray for them. And, I mean, you can just see the ministries in this church, how effective they are, and how the staff that we hire just pretty much all the time is just a great fit and great people. Liam, you're one of them.
Thanks.
And so I think that's the Lord answering that our prayers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the power of prayer has been demonstrated a lot in that group, and so that just enhances my prayer life individually. Yeah. I mean, it helps.
Yeah. How would you say that kind of has, practice-wise, helped your individual prayer life, being a part of this group for 26 years? Mm-hmm. Has that kind of said, hey, I've got my Friday morning prayer done, I'm good, or has that leaked into an individual prayer life?
No. You had asked... told me you were going to ask me that question.
Yeah.
And I thought of...
don't reveal all our secrets.
Yeah. It's changed my focus, I think. As a newer Christian, I think sometimes we just pray for ourselves and our needs. Mm-hmm. I thought of an example that might help me explain changing my focus, making me more proactive. We're studying, Jonah right now. And the first two chapters, there's two examples of prayer in those first two chapters. One is where the sailors get ready to throw Jonah overboard, and so they're praying to Jonah's God, who they don't even know, asking Jonah's God to save them. And then in chapter two, when Jonah is in the belly of the whale and he has no other way out, yeah, I wrote down the verse, how it reads. I think it's really cool. It says, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and I prayed earnestly to the Lord. So I think that was me maybe. The first example are example of maybe people that aren't Christians. If they have a disaster in their life, they oftentimes will turn to the Lord, mm-hmm. even though they don't know him. And the second example is, of Jonah is more like a Christian who only prays when they get in trouble. And, I think we've all done that.
Sure.
And I probably did that more in the beginning of my Christian walk than as I growed. But I think that praying for other people, focusing not just on me, helped change my focus, and then being more proactive in praying rather than reactive when you have an example or have a disaster. You praying for the church, praying for the weekend services, praying for things that are coming up, being more proactive, I think. So that I think over 26 years, I've just, the habit of doing that just transitions over to your personal life more. So mm-hmm. I'd say that's one way I've grown quite a bit.
Yeah. So.
So, Greg, you've gotten to see some change in the prayer group over the last 26 years. Where do you see us going in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I have a desire to maybe try to form another group that meets at a different time.
Mm.
I think a lot of people will come, but they don't stick because, just like we were talking about, it's just hard to get up that early. And so I'm hoping maybe we can, have a group of guys that may want to meet at a different time, and maybe get somebody to lead that. So
what would be your invitation then? Like, if that does sound good to somebody listening, you know, what's their step? What do they do?
Well, get a hold of me or get a hold of you.
Okay.
If you're interested in wanting to join a group, but would prefer it being at a different time during the day, let us know that, and we'll see if we can put something together. We would like to find somebody that could lead that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say just let us know.
Yeah, and I think especially, I mean, I'm not speaking from a ton of experience here. We've only had a few kids come and stay with us, but, you know, early mornings are really hard because they are up before me, and evenings are easier once they're in bed. So I think in some ways this is kind of our attempt to maybe gather in some guys who maybe once their kids are asleep, or if they have to go to work really early, you guys might be able to come for an evening prayer time or something like that. I think that's a little bit of maybe what we're hoping for, would love to know more about. So like Greg said, if that sounds like something that would be interesting to you, or you would be interested in even leading a group of guys in prayer in the evening here at the church, please let us know. My email's on the website on our men's page, but it's also just lweingartner@fbctopeka.com, or you can reach out to Greg as well and let us know, because we would love for you to be involved in our prayer group. And we want to extend the invitation to our morning group as well, to come on Fridays at 6 a.m. and come and have a cup of coffee and share your life with us, and let us pray with you, pray over your life, your family, and then pray with us over the church and the world and what God's doing, and just see what happens. And I know that if you are willing to commit the time to gather together in a community of brothers in prayer, not only are you going to build relationships with other brothers, but you're going to see the Lord work. And that is well, well worth a little bit of loss of sleep, I would say.
And we meet in the fireside room.
Fireside room, parked down by the lower atrium entrance if you'd like to come and join us. It's pretty much the only room with lights on and cars parked near it, so it'd be hard to miss when you get into our parking lot. And then consider joining the group of guys for breakfast after prayer to continue building some time and fellowship. Greg, we want to thank you for just your ministry and work and life, just being here at Fellowship, serving and leading over the 26 years that you have been a part of this church. We are grateful to have you, not just as an elder, but also as an elder on our men's ministry team, and providing wisdom and guidance in a topic that, in an area of prayer that is so vital to the health of our church and just to the spiritual health of everybody that follows Jesus. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Guys, we look forward to connecting with you on the next episode of the Awake Podcast. Take this time over the next few weeks to connect with your group and to dig into this topic of prayer. You're going to be seeing a discussion guide go out here soon, and so be on the lookout for that to have some discussion questions for your groups. We'll see you next time.